It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now, open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, go in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. It's conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. For more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. The sixth playing of the Jackson T. Stevens Cup will take place this September. It will be played on the East Course at Fields Ranch there in Frisco, Texas. We will be there to cover it, as we have the previous five Jackson T. Stevens Cups. Before this year's event, I wanted to sit down with John Stevens, the co-chairman, along with his brother Miles, of the Jackson T. Stevens Cup. The Jackson T. Stevens Cup was founded by their father, Warren Stevens, and his good friend Bill McAtee to honor Warren's dad, Jack Stevens. It is one of the most prestigious collegiate tournaments in the game of golf. I'll have more on it after the break. Stay with us. At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world, and to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. John Stevens started playing the game of golf with his father, Warren, who is now the United States Ambassador to the United Kingdom. Stevens has been a family-owned business since 1933, and he, along with his brother, Miles, are co-CEOs. Their sister, Laura, is the chair of the executive committee. This year, John and his brother, Miles, will co-chair the Jackson T. Stevens Cup that will be played at PGA Frisco, Fields Ranch East. On the tee, John Stevens.
John, first of all, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you picked up a golf club and fell in love with the game?
Yeah, I remember, you know, being around it my whole life. I remember we used to go to Ponte Vedra in the summertime, and we would go to these little camps at the Ponte Vedra Inn and Country Club. And I remember being a little boy compared to a lot of the other boys that were there, and I won this little putting contest and, you know, brought home like a Snickers bar and a sleeve of balls. And my dad was proud of me. I was proud. My brother was proud of me, probably a little jealous that I'd bested him that day. But that is one of my very earliest memories of golf and sort of loving the game and, you know, feeling like I was had the chance to be okay at it.
Were you self-taught or did you take lessons from a professional or did your father teach you?
There was a little bit of dad teaching us, but really he made sure that we got in front of Dan Snyder at a young age when he was out at Chenal. So, you know, I grew up on the country club, but we would go out and get lessons from Dan. And, you know, looking back, I didn't play a whole lot of golf growing up. I played some, but, you know, just to get those lessons in and learn the kind of fundamentals and the basics and get that memory, the swing mechanics down. I'm not a great golfer, but I'm sure that helped me be an okay golfer.
had a nice place to play growing up. I mean, CCLR and going out to Chennault for lessons from Dan. I mean, pretty prestigious instructor, I would say. And Dan Snyder, what was it like growing up around Country Club of Little Rock?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, looking back on it, I probably didn't take as much advantage of it as I should have. You know, I played team sports and football was my favorite sport. I would have these kind of summer flings with golf where I would play every day for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And so I would, you know, get a little bit better then, but I wasn't like a lot of the guys who grew up around the country club who were there every single day, kind of grinding. Don't think I had the patience at that age, which I, you know, looking back, I wish I did. But it was a lot of fun. You know, it was fun just to walk out kind of in your backyard and get out there and play 11, which is my parents' house is on 11. You know, play 11, 12, 13, just those three holes in the evenings with my dad. I remember doing that quite a bit. And as my kids get older now, I hope I do kind of the same thing.
Have you ever made a hole in one on 11? I mean, it's a short hole.
No, I've never made a hole in one, period. So, you know, every time I play a par three, it's hard not to think about that. But no, I haven't. I've come close like everybody else and come close on 11 a handful of times, but never done it.
Do you have a favorite hole out there at Country Club of Little Rock?
It's a good question. My whole take on it, the front nine is, I think, so hard. But there's a lot of good holes. There's not a bad hole on the front nine. It's just a hard nine. You know, I think number two is a great hole. You get the view of the Little Rock on the green, and it's a long kind of hard par four. On the back nine, I think the views from 15 are great.
Yeah, looking down the river out to West Little Rock, you know, not West Pulaski County and Pinnacle Mountain.
And even looking back up at 17 and the rest of the course, I mean, it's a cool view all the way around. 17's a great hole.
Tough hole.
You know, I think it's cool that, you know, there's a lot of country clubs that have houses on most holes. And I think it's kind of neat that we have that little 10, 11, 12 section of the course that has houses, but the rest doesn't. So that's just a neat feature of the course that I've always thought was cool. So, yeah, I mean, I really like, there's not a bad hole out there as far as I'm concerned. I have a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, I think so, too. I can't think of one that just really sticks out. It's like, why is this one here?
Yeah.
You know, they all seem to flow so well. Now, I would like to say, and you know, pro will probably kill me for this, but you could do away with nine.
Yeah.
You know, just a tough par three back in from the back tees back into the wind most of the time.
Yeah. 7, 8, 9, that'll eat your lunch. I mean, if you're playing the blues, yeah, those are very, very hard holes. And yeah, hitting that 9 tee shot into the wind, I mean, it's a 3-wood some of the time for me. I usually spray it and left or right, and the wind catches it, and you know.
Hope you get up and down for par.
That's right, yeah.
You spoke a little bit earlier about your dad. You would go out in the evenings and play 11, 12, 13. What do you remember about playing with your dad and some of the trips you would take to play?
You know, I just remember being impressed by how much he loved the game. You know, he would talk about his dad a lot and what it was like for him to grow up playing with Jack and with Jack's friends who were often, you know, pretty prominent people, but dad got to be with them in a casual setting and, you know, really converse with them and kind of learn how to act around them. He always tried to convey that to us that, you know, if you play this game, it's going to teach you life lessons that you're going to carry with you no matter what you're doing. He was a pretty good golfer. He still is a pretty good golfer. He can get around okay, but, you know, he was shooting in the 70s, as I remember it, most of the time. And, encouraging us to get better, and it was fun to look up to somebody who we thought was a great golfer. Maybe he wasn't great, but he was good, and it was just a lot of fun. You know, you kind of think back now, just how he looked. You know, he's probably not much older than I am now, and it's fun to look back on. We played a lot together growing up, and I cherish that now.
Were there any competitive games between the two of you and maybe involving your brother Miles as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's more happened as we've gotten older because Miles, like me, we weren't really competitive golfers growing up. We were around the game and played the game some, but I think we both have gotten more serious about it sort of in our 20s and 30s. And kind of early 30s, I think we started really competing with Dad just on a heads-up kind of level, no strokes. And, you know, now Miles and I are always within a few strokes of each other, and we tend to play heads up regardless of our handicaps, and we have a good match, and it can go either way on any given day. We play together in the member at Elotion, which is called the A-Lot, which is a lot of fun. We haven't won it yet, but, you know, keep trying.
Maybe someday.
And now we're giving Dad some strokes. But, I mean, every time we play, we have some game going on. I feel like I've played more with him as my teammate than against him, but we've definitely done both. And it's always fun.
What do you remember, John, about playing with your granddad and being around him?
Looking back, you know, just so special, the things that I got to do with him, mostly at Augusta when he was chairman in the 90s. You know, being there with him and just kind of, you know, wasn't much of a golfer. I was a little boy, but, you know, getting to play and swing. I made a birdie on 16. I hit a 3-wood to a couple feet and made the putt. And, you know, he saw that. And just his presence there and looking back on and how much, you know, the staff appreciated him. I think one of his legacies is he did a lot for the staff there. So, you know, it's just kind of this larger-than-life guy. You don't really realize how lucky you are to be there with him. You know, Dad's loving it because he's with his dad and his boys, and you know, you're just kind of there with the guy to be with. And so those are some great memories. We went there for one or two Thanksgivings, and that's really where I got to play some golf with him there and spend some time with him there.
He did so much for the game of golf and amateur golf. Do you look back at that and say, man, what a legacy?
Yeah, I'm really proud of all he's done, you know, but certainly with golf. I mean, to come from Prattsville and pick up the game, I think in his 30s, and go on to be the chairman of Augusta and then use, you know, a lot of the success that he had enjoyed to kind of promote golf and make it accessible to people, the first tee here in Arkansas. I mean, we're still very proud of that. And just his whole approach to people was, if you're out there working on something or working a job, you deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. And, you know, I think that is how he wanted golf to be viewed as well. I mean, it's hard work to be reasonably good at golf. And, you know, for a long time, I think it was viewed as inaccessible, and he wanted to help change that perception and perhaps reality. And, you know, I think Dad has done a great job of honoring him through the JTS, you know, with the historically black colleges and universities and the military academies and then, you know, some great teams from around the country. You know, it's rare, if at all, that those competitors would ever come to the same field and compete. And I think my grandfather would be really proud to have his name on something like that.
Speaking of that tournament, your dad and Bill McAtee created the Jackson T. Stevens Cup. What do you remember about that initial event at the Aleutian Club in 2021?
I had been home for about a year, and, you know, it was just a really cool, special, fun event. You know, I wasn't really involved in any of the planning or anything like that at the time. But, you know, to get such high-caliber golfers to Aleutian is always fun. You know, just to see it on TV for the first time, that was really, really cool. I remember going back to the production site for the Golf Channel, kind of in our maintenance area, and getting in one of those big buses and looking at the production that goes into, you know, televising something like that. And that was neat. You know, it's just, you're there with people, you know, that's fun too. Local people, volunteers, other members, families, friends. I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it's been such a cool run to have it at such different and great places, including this year at Frisco. But to get it back next year is going to be really exciting. And, you know, to see Aleutian on television again, it's going to be really fun. And, you know, it's local, so it's easy. It's just fun to be here and go home at night and still get to enjoy it the next day.
Yeah, you don't have to spend the night in a hotel room.
Yeah.
You can sleep in your own bed. Do you get, John, do you feel a sense of pride in what the Stevens Cup has grown into in this, I mean, relatively short amount of time?
Yeah, very much. You know, it's hard not to be proud of both my granddad and my dad for, you know, putting us in a position to do something like this. And we touched on the kind of the field of players, proud of that. You know, I'm proud, really. I think it's the places that we've managed to have the tournament, I think, is a testament both to my dad and my granddad. And I'm proud of that. I think it's been really cool to go to these places, enjoy them myself, just being there, watch some great golf, you know, playing the AMMs. You know, at certainly at many clubs that just don't typically open their doors for stuff like this. I think that's great for the players, really. You know, the young people who have worked so hard at something get to go and have a, you know, what I think is a first-class tournament and experience kind of all the way around at great places is a really cool thing.
Have there been any thoughts about maybe expanding and heading to the West for some Stevens Cups?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, but my grandfather was a member at Cypress Point. My dad's a member there. They do a lot in amateur golf. They're definitely open to hosting high-quality amateur tournaments. You know, I think we've at least discussed as a family how cool that would be, and that's something we might try to work towards in the future, and, you know, I think that would just be amazing. That is truly kind of like a dream world of golf, how beautiful the setting is out there, and just to see high-level competition out there is also, you know, really appealing to me.
You spoke on the HBCUs and the military academies. What type of pride do you sense from the players that are selected to get to play in the JTS Cup from the HBCUs and the military academies?
I really root for those guys and girls. You can tell, I mean, yeah, as you mentioned, they're selected. It's not a team that's invited. It's just the highest performing individuals from those schools. And it's just a little bit different than a lot of the other teams where, not trying to take anything away from the other teams, but most of the competitors from the traditional schools have, you know, probably grown up around country clubs and have had the privilege of being around golf their whole lives. And I'm, you know, I can't speak for what the other military academy and HBCU players, how they grew up, but I assume in a lot of cases it was a little bit different, and they're still out there competing at the highest level, and you know, it's really cool to see. I mean, I think we're all sort of hoping that it's, at some point we'll see an individual champion from either of, you know, the two schools, and you know, if not, it's still just great having them out there and letting them compete, and they've made some waves. I mean, they're out there playing well, and it makes me happy to see it, really.
Stevens is a global brand. How has the game of golf helped you in business?
You know, I think we've used it as an outlet for advertising by sponsoring some players. I mean, and things like that are sort of one way to answer that question. You know, for me personally, it actually reminds me of a story that I think my dad gets a kick out of, which is when I was a little boy, he asked what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I said, well, Dad, I want to be an investment banker like you. And he said, that's great. You know, why is that? And I said, well, it seems to me all you do is go around and play golf with your friends. And so that obviously wasn't true, but he worked and continues to work very hard at whatever he's doing at the time. But he, you know, did get to go around and play some golf with his friends. And some of that was just friends, and other times that was work. And I've definitely, you know, leveraged golf and played golf for work a lot and made, you know, friendships that, you know, I think will be meaningful to the success of our business over the golf course, over golf rounds. And, you know, it's a great way to network. It's a great way to really get to know people and for people to really get to know you. I think one thing that dad didn't really foresee when he set out to build a lotion was how impactful that could be for the business. And, you know, when you're trying to get clients or potential clients to come to Little Rock for a meeting or a visit, and then you can take them out there and show them something like that, and you know, maybe they view it as a reflection of the type of service they'll get if they work with us. It really has helped us on the business front, and so, you know, all of the above. I mean, it's helped me also just mature as a person. You know, just you take the lessons from the golf course and you apply them every day, you know, in the work environment. And that can mean, you know, trying to keep your emotions in check when you're upset about something. And, or it can mean, you know, not celebrating too much when things go your way, whatever it is. I mean, you know, the older I've gotten, the more I've come to really believe, you know, what my dad taught me and what his dad taught him, which is golf's a great teacher in life. Something that, you know, I think everybody should be encouraged to do.
The rules of golf have changed over time from the 13 first rules known as the 13 articles that the Gentlemen Golfers of Leith, now the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, compromised. John, if you could change one rule in the game, what would it be and why?
I've always felt like you shouldn't be punished for hitting good shots into the fairway that are, if you wind up in a divot is basically where I'm going.
Yep.
I think that should be ground under repair. You should be able to move it left or right out of the divot and play it from the fairway if it was going to be in the fairway anyway. And that, really is the only thing that comes to mind. I think if you're in the rough, you got to play it as it lies. But if you're in the fairway and you wind up in a divot, I've never felt like that's fair.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. What do you hope the competitors that play in this year's Stevens Cup at PGA Frisco will remember the most?
What I'm really proud of about the JTS is I do think it's kind of a total package for players. I mean, it's good courses, but it's also, we try to build a great sense of community through events, dinners, drinks, getting all the teams together, all the coaches together, all the sponsors together, good food throughout the tournament. And so really, I hope they kind of all can look back on it and say, well, that was just a great tournament. They really took care of us, whether they played well or not. The people that put on that tournament really cared about the players and about their experience at the tournament. And I do think we do a good job of that, and have hopefully gotten better each year. So that's kind of, in general, what I would say.
I know you're looking forward to this year's event. Going to be a lot of Texas flair with it being in the North Texas area. How did that come about?
We have a good relationship with the Rolling family. A friend of mine is Blake Rolling. They're the Omni Hotel family. And so, that they're very aware. Blake's a member at Elotion. They're very aware of the JTS. They love golf. Investors in golf, not just at the Omni in Frisco, but in many of their properties across the country. And so that's how the location kind of came up as a possibility. And, I've been there. It's an incredible place. It's kind of like it's different. I would say it's a little different than some of the other places. It's not as maybe intimate or private as many of the clubs that we've been lucky to go to. But the infrastructure around it and the way it's set up for something like this is going to make it really fun, really special. It's a hard course. I mean, I've never played the tips, and they can really tip it out. And I'm sure it can be windy there. It's a lot of fun. It's going to be, I think, great competition. And then, it's you're kind of on property there. You don't really have to leave the area, and you can kind of have it all. Accommodations, meals, kind of chip and putts. And you're close. I think we're going to do some things at the Cowboys facilities, which will be cool.
Yeah, nearby. The Star.
Yeah. And I've actually never been to the AT&T Stadium, so I'm excited to finally get to see that. And I think we're going to have maybe a drink deal at the practice facility. So, I mean, it's going to be neat.
John, the Elotion Club going to be busy next year. We've already talked about the JTS Cup going there, but also the Arkansas State Amateur for the first time ever is going to be contested at the Elotion Club. It is a true test of the game of golf out there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, the greens are where the defense is. I think when my dad was designing it with Tom Fazio, he wanted it to be a little more forgiving off the tee. And I think it is. You can't really spray it, but you can get away with some stuff out there off the tee. But then if you hit it in the wrong spot around the green, it's going to be hard to make a par, especially if you get up above several of them and are coming back down. I think being behind the greens in general is something you want to avoid. I think playing there or having experience there is a big advantage. So that'll be interesting to see some of the players that might have had the chance to play there compete versus some of the ones that have not in the amateur. But yeah, I'm super excited both about the JTS and the Arkansas Amateur. I think we're honored to host them both, but certainly the amateur, and excited to see what people can do out there. And I think Justin Sims, who's kind of the head groundskeeper out there, and his team are going to have it in great shape. It's been kind of two really good years in a row out there. I'm gonna knock on wood, but I think it's in great shape. It's kind of really settled in. I think he's going to get those greens rolling, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it will be, too. Best golf course you've ever played?
I kind of have a cop-out answer. I list three, and I would say Cypress Point is the most beautiful. I would say Augusta is the most sort of memorable and special. And then, I'm biased, but I love playing Elotion, and if I had to pick one course to play for the rest of my life, I would probably pick Elotion. But I mean, you know, my dad built it, so I'm very, very partial to it. But yeah, that's my answer.
I know you've played with a lot of notable people. Best person, most notable person you've ever played a round of golf with?
Well, notable, I've gotten to play with Donald Trump 2 times.
That's pretty notable.
Yeah. Best person, I don't know if that's the same answer, but certainly he was a lot of fun to be with. He can get around really well for an 80-year-old man. 2 golf rounds I certainly won't forget. He's funny, and he's charming, and if he's in a good mood, he's fun to be with. And he was both days I played with him, and I didn't play great, but I played okay. So, you know, it's pretty nerve-wracking to tee off around that. And then you got 30, 40 carts, security people and staff people kind of everywhere at all times, zooming around. And so it's quite an experience. He plays music pretty loudly, and, you know, there's just a lot of craziness around it all. But it was very memorable.
Maybe a little intimidating, I would say. I mean, not many people get to say, hey, I've played with the President of the United States.
Never anticipated it, but got to play with him last summer with my dad in Scotland when he was over. And, you know, dad's capacity over there, got to go up with him and play. And then when he was a candidate the second time, I played with him in D.C.
Fantasy foursome, John, living or deceased, you and 3 others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
I got a good living foursome currently, my dad, my brother, and my brother-in-law. But if I could do a fantasy, I would, sorry to Cliff, but I would have to remove my brother-in-law and add my grandfather kind of in his prime. I would love to see him when he was younger, getting around the golf course pretty well and just, you know, a younger man than I ever got to know him as. To see that with my dad and brother, I think would be the most special foursome I can think of. If we're talking just celebrities and kind of fun, you know, I don't really gamble. I'll play for a couple dollars, you know, with friends, but not a big gambler by any means. But if I had the chance to play with Michael Jordan, I would cash a check and put it in a briefcase and go kind of gamble and see how I fared against him. And I would maybe add just for fun, like a, you know, Tiger Woods or John Daly or something to round it out. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That would be cool.
So, yeah, I've always thought, you know, if, again, not a gambler, but if I could win or lose some money against Michael Jordan and 2 others, I would take that opportunity.
Be worth it.
It would be. It would be. Yeah.
I had a feeling where you were going on the fantasy foursome. I kind of thought that that's probably where you would go, and I mean, it fits.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, that would be cool. So
that would be. John, I can't thank you enough. Best of luck with the Stevens Cup this year. Looking forward to being down there in PGA Frisco, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate you having me on.
If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
That's about all the time we have for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Don't forget, PGA Frisco tickets on sale now for the Jackson T. Stevens Cup, September 14th through the 16th. All you need to do is go to their website, JacksonTStevensCup.com. You can find all of the information on the tournament there. It is a loaded field again. It'll be the second time that the Jackson T. Stevens Cup will be played in the state of Texas. Previously, a couple of years ago, it was played at Trinity Forest there in Dallas. We will have a full recap of this year's playing of the Jackson T. Stevens Cup on an episode of From the Shortgrass as well. I hope you will find time to listen to that episode when it becomes available. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.